Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, here on air with you. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us online. You know, Happy New Year to everybody. It's 2016. Let's make it a good one. In the studio, we have several people who are anxious to talk to you about their upcoming projects and their new work and all. We have Dennis Etzel Jr., who's in the studio with us, Sarah Nicole Glass, also known as Miss Concepcion. We have Annie Robb, who's a writer and an art critic. And then we also have, later on, Godfrey Riddle, who's the development manager with the Arts KC organization, and he'll be here on the second half of the program. So let's get started, and I'll introduce you to Dennis Etzel Jr. He lives with Carrie, his significant other,
spouse,
and the boys in Topeka, Kansas, where he teaches English at Washburn University. He has an MFA from the University of Kansas and an MA in a graduate certificate in Women and Gender Studies from Kansas State University. He also has two chapbooks, The Sum of Two Mothers and my graphic novel, and a full-length poetic memoir, Bye, Honey, My Secret Wars of 1984. His work has appeared in Denver Quarterly, Indiana Review, Blaze Vox, Facsimile 1913, A Journal of Poetic Poems, 3 a.m., Tarpaulin Sky, Diagram, and others. He is a talk scholar for the Kansas Humanities Council and leads poetry workshops in various Kansas spaces. So let's say hello to Dennis.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me, Maria.
You bet. You know, your most recent book that was released, My Secret Wars of 1984, has just been stellar. In fact, recently it was listed as one of the top 10 poetry books of this
2015.
Year. Yeah. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So how do you do it all? How do you juggle family and, you know, teaching and writing? How do you do it all?
It's not easy. I always keep a little journal thing with me to just write down notes because I'm constantly doing other things, of course. You know,
sure.
I'm doing a lot of things with family, and I think it's, you know, important raising our boys, and we're going to have two more. Well, I'm not supposed to say we're supposed to have two more on the way.
Wow.
We're kind of keeping that a secret, but yeah.
Well, it's not anymore.
We'll be, yeah. There you go. You got it here first. And so it's important to me, though, to also show them to be involved with their lives as, you know, mm-hmm. to show them like what I'm interested in and what I'm doing, and then also Carrie showing them what she's interested in. Mm-hmm. I love it when I met her. She's into fairy tales, and I'm very much into mythology, and so it's just this wonderful simpatico of getting together. So I'd say as far as juggling, I do a lot of writing very early in the morning. Mm-hmm. I usually wake up at 5:30 if I'm teaching that day, just to, you know, get out the door before my boys wake up. They want me to stay, so it's kind of...
Yeah.
And then I do a lot of just that, finding times in between just to... jot small things so that eventually I reserve an hour out of every week for writing, and then that's where a lot of the writing happens then, and, or things come together.
I find that most successful writers have that discipline, mm-hmm. you know, rather than, I don't feel like writing today. But, you know, I again will point to the success of My Secret Wars of 1984. Mm-hmm. And one of the reviewers, Amy King, had written that to read My Secret Wars of 1984 is to ride an old wooden roller coaster through a spacious gallery of stained glass windows, all their colorful shards having been stolen, shattered, then chewed into shape. What we have here are gorgeous and wise assemblages of sharp, scavenged graffiti, ricocheting from Pac-Man to Topeka to institutional structures to AIDS awareness to Reagan. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And so I hope that you'll read some of your work today.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure, I will. And I just love that kind of letting go. I've always heard, you know, creativity is about letting go.
Yeah.
And that with that book, I really did. I was trying to find a way to write about kind of one of the years that I struggled the most. And it was when I was 13, turning 14. And I realized that maybe taking on some of what other modernists or collagists do in art, I could do with sentences, I could do with writing. So I basically took the materials that I had when I was that age, mm-hmm. was basically comic books and Dungeons and Dragons. So I took some of those things, and then also of feminist writers of the time, and then also poets who were writing at the time. So I wanted to include both the voices that I had access to, and then the voices that I weren't allowed to have, mm-hmm. or whatever, being in Topeka, Kansas, or I couldn't have access to. And then also Ronald Reagan, who really just scared the heck out of me. He scared me with always just the threat of nuclear war every night. And mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, this is very much how the public struggle and the private struggle somehow mirror each other. So
It sounds terrific. Would you care to read?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and while you're getting ready for that, I can tell folks that your website is DennisEtzelJr.com. And also you have a blog, which is at DennisEtzelJr.com at Blogspot.
Or blogspot.com. Yeah.
There you go.
And you can find that also on that website.
Sure.
I'll just read three.
Yeah, that's fine.
A couple of amazing things just happened. A large TV transmission tower collapses under the weight of the ice, along with many trees and large tree branches, a mark of their life without protest, without rage, a nightmare on Elm Street. In 1984, Kansas has no rainbow. In addition, any things or creatures not in their true form, polymorphed, disguised, or otherwise, are seen as they truly are, with no possibility of deception. In being formal and making form distinct, it opens, makes various multiplicity and possibly articulate and clear. In comic books, the weak boy swallows a super strength serum. In other words, another world. Getting from the beginning to the end of a statement is simple movement. Given the prejudice and discrimination against lesbian women in our society, alternative communities that are women-centered are one means of creating positive, affirming environments. I think that's probably one of the smaller ones, but I used some bell hooks and to try to represent with my mother being out and the conflict of then the neighborhood kind of against us then,
Wow.
back in 1984. So.
You know, and what a powerful thing to happen in a young person's life, or in life in general. I mean, how did that affect you, you know, in growing up?
Yeah, there was still, I think, a lot of secrecy that I wanted to keep, and I was already kind of closed off from a lot of people going through school. Like, I was very much a loner, and... And it's interesting now because I've reconnected with people from that time and found out even someone who had been kind of a bully to me, he too had had a lesbian mother. And so those are like the kind of the epiphanies, since it's Epiphany Day. Well, let's talk about epiphanies. The epiphany of that, like even someone you might think of as someone who is a threat to you or someone who's the bully or someone who you disconnected to, there could be underlying disconnections and maybe that's also the overall theme of poetry, is to connect with others and how connecting words with each other conforms connections, all of those wonderful things.
Do you use some of the experience growing up as a youngster? Do you use some of that experience in your workshops with youth?
Oh, yes, yes. I use sometimes examples, and mostly from my Sum of Two Mothers chapbook, which are more of the poems about my mothers, and then now being a father, kind of a spectrum of growing up and then certain times in my life and then now being a father and what that means for meaning family. And I like to use those just if I'm saying even, like, okay, this is what you can do as a way to write about your experiences or your social concerns, your social justice concerns or whatever as a means of activism. But most often, though, in workshops, I just let people write. They often... are better than I could ever be to knowing what kind of poem they could write, I guess. That Well, what's the best kind of poem they could write?
And, you know, we talked in the green room just before we went on air, and just, you know, to remind ourselves that everyone has a story. Everyone wants to be heard. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't know the right way to, you know, construct a sentence or you know, to make something meaningful. But you do connect with a lot of the kids that you work with. But you also, let's see, you also do readings outside of your job as an educator at Washburn and that. So you have anything coming up?
Yes, I do. Actually, there's a reading at the Oak Park branch of the Kansas City, the Johnson County Library.
Yeah, that's at 9500 Blue Jacket Street in Overland Park. And that takes place January 19th.
Thank you. Yes, I'm not sure. I kind of live day by day, so yeah.
You know, it's that's my right. job to put people on the spot. Good. Here. And, you know, and I believe that's at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's the Thomas Wilson Reading Series at Johnson County Community College, or Johnson County Library. Mm-hmm. And so I suspect that you can Google that or maybe on your website.
Right, it's on the website.
Yeah. Also, a Common Sense reading, you have that coming up.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the month. And there are two people I'm reading with who are also through the same publisher of my latest book. Mm-hmm. It's Blaze Vox Books, and they're known for publishing, yeah, you know, just really experimental work, and yeah. They're very great with their authors. So I really enjoyed that I got on with their press. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I have two other poets visiting from Nebraska that they're coming down and
cool.
Yeah, they're staying with us, and then we're doing a couple of readings, one in Lawrence that Friday the 29th, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. the Common Sense reading here in the 30th.
Yeah, so. And the one on the 29th is at the Raven in Lawrence, Kansas at 7 o'clock. And again, you can find these events on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a Facebook page as well?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. You know, Jordan, it's I've heard so much about you, and, you know, looking at the books that you have written, I'm just really pleased that you were able to make time to come on to ArtSpeak today. Good luck with all your writing, and again, congratulations for making that top 10 list of poetry books. That's pretty awesome for you.
Yeah, thank you. I was just flabbergasted, really. I didn't know anyone was really reading. You know, no one really reads poetry, so
yeah.
I just really want to appreciate the Kansas City Star for doing that, and thank you, Maria, for having me, too.
Sure.
It's just wonderful to meet you.
This just means that you have to come back, right?
Yes.
And share some more of your work. Do you have one more poem that you might want to leave us with?
Oh, sure.
Okay. And I can tell you that we're listening to Dennis Edsel Jr., a writer, educator out of Topeka, Kansas. And so what are we going to hear?
Okay, this is from The Sum of Two Mothers. It's the last
Great.
Poem. As one mother is a nurse, the other is a counselor, a kind of therapy, down the middle, one for the mind, the other for the body. I help them sharpen that double-edged axe for gardens, for protection. Each job, a work of resistance against grindstones.
Beautiful. Great.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip back to Topeka, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with ArtSpeak after this. You're tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, your host. And next up, we have Sarah Nicole Glass, also known as Miss Concepcion. She's been voted the best poet spoken word artist by The Pitch, and she's here to talk about her latest book release. Let me tell you about Ms. Glass. She's been performing, mentoring, and hosting spoken word poetry events in Kansas City since 2008. She brings that psychedelic soul and intelligent hip-hop and universal consciousness to the beat of Fire Hula Spin and Jambe Cadence with words to be inspired by. So her first book of poetry, Class Action, will be presented at Prospero's Bookstore, and that is at 1800 West 39th Street here in Kansas City, and that's January 23rd, 8 to 11 p.m. But she also is going to talk about other events that she has going on that's coming up, one this weekend. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Maria. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And we did hear a little bit of your music there at the break, so I do want to mention that too.
Thank you. Yeah, that
listeners.
Was Colorblind.
Yeah, beautiful.
Third album.
So let's start with what's happening this weekend.
Well, I turned 30 few days ago.
Oh, boo-hoo.
And my friends are throwing me a little birthday party where they're roasting me through burlesque and poetry and hip-hop and song and dance. So
it sounds like a fun
time. It's going to be at the Holy Cow Market, which is like the old Cowtown Ballroom.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited to be supporting them and to be supporting the burlesque performers and the comedian Norm Dexter is going to be there. Nightlife Jones, who you had on your show last week. He's my little partner in rhyme. So that's this weekend. I'm pretty excited. You know, if you have to turn 30, well, this is the way to do it.
You're right. Also, I want to mention that you will be a part of the Human Being at the Uptown Arts Bar, and that's going to be
the following weekend.
Yeah, there you go.
The 16th. So that's an event I'm producing with Greg Patterson from the Arts Bar to benefit KKFI. We do this every year. So this is the fourth year, and it's a tribute to the 1967 event in the Golden Gate Park that had Allen Ginsberg and the Grateful Dead and Steve Miller and all kinds of performers. But we've got local performers who are going to be paying tribute to that, doing some of those songs, reading some of the poetry from that time period, and really just representing that spirit of the 60s that we still carry on to today.
You know, and it's I want to thank you for that, because it is a benefit for KKFI.
Yeah.
So you can find more information at uptownartsbar.com or through kkfi.org. So that will take place the 16th, and it really is a lot of fun.
Oh, it's so fun. I love it. I feel like I was there in a past life or something, and you know, here we are still celebrating that music and that genre. And I also wanted to say thank you to It's a Beautiful Day and Coopers, because they are sponsoring our silent auction that we're going to have there, and they've just been really wonderful over the years.
Yeah, you are an old soul, Sarah. I mean, you really are.
Well, it takes one to know one.
Well, let's talk about Class Action, because this is your first book of poetry, and it's a part of the Prospero's books, the 12
Pop
Poets
poetry.
And 12 Month Sequence.
Mm-hmm.
So
Pop
you're starting
poetry.
Off.
Yeah. Yep, so this is the second year. Jeanette Powers has pulled this together with Jason Ryberg and some of the other Prospero staff, and they're basically producing a poet a month, the same kind of format, but and the really cool thing about this project is that the poet from the month before sort of funds the next poet. Mm-hmm. So last month's book is why I was able to do mine, and then my event on the 23rd will then fund the next poet for the next month. So it's really a collaborative effort, a really cool thing that Kansas City is bringing together, and I'm just honored to have a book to call my own.
Well, and there's such a spirit of community and togetherness and support within the creative community, whether it be literary or visual art or performance and that sort of thing. But I also want to mention that that will take place at 9:30 sharp. Mm-hmm. And you also will feature poets reading from Class Action.
Yeah, so some of my favorite performers and poets and friends from my past as a poet will be presenting my work. Glenn North is one of them. A whole slew. Nightlife Jones will be there again. And then after that, there's going to be a live band, a live improv jazz band called the Inspiration Monkeys.
That'd
I've worked
be
with
fun.
Them a little bit. So they'll be backing up some of the readers. Mm. And as usual, after that part of it, there will be the pit open mic. So anybody is welcome to come read with the band or without. So people can sort of give us a flavor of their own work and style. And
now, is it something that people should probably sign up for beforehand, or is it just as you come?
I think it'll be at the door sign up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine it'll be a sold out show, but you know, that's something
you know,
to work towards.
It's been hugely popular, the Upstairs of Prospero's Books.
It's beautiful.
And you can find out more information from prosperosbookstore.com, you know, for upcoming events and that, but certainly for Sarah's book release, Class Action. Did you want to read some from your...
Oh, I didn't. I don't have a copy of it
That's
with
okay.
me yet. It's not printed. But
That's
I did
okay.
want to say, you know, the book is a tribute to my grandfather, who is a lawyer and has been a great inspiration.
He's a force.
I made a documentary about him called Hellraising with Humor. But he's always been really about teaching people how to be their own lawyer and how to represent your own self in this whole social justice wave. And so I dedicated the book to him, and I called it Class Action because, you know, I'm a class act. And just felt like it was a collection of poetry that really I felt like made him proud. And if I were to leave a legacy behind, that was what I would want people to see. So
I remember participating at the screening, and it was like standing room only.
Yeah.
It was because people respect him. They know who he is. He was just a major, you know, supporter of you and what you do, and
but
kind of
influenced so many,
you. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he did so many awesome cases representing, you know, the underdog in Kansas City, representing people of color, people who didn't have money. He did pro bono, all of that. And so, you know, as an artist, it's nice to have that to draw inspiration from.
Absolutely. So. And I want to tell readers about your website, misconception.com.
It's the misconception.
I left that out.
Themisconception.com.
And then your music, will that also be on the website, or is it separate, like Reverb Nation? Or?
Well, I have a SoundCloud too. You can always find me on SoundCloud or Bandcamp, but the website has links to everything, and it's got the music and also the fire dancing and all the random shenanigans I like to get into.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an exciting evening, January 23rd, which is Saturday, from 8 to 11 at Prospero's Books, 1800 West 39th Street. Also, some of the featured poets who will read from Class Action, as you mentioned, Glenn North, Stacey Flannery, Doug Rosenbrook, Nightlife Jones, Esther Vickers, William Peck, Sharon Eicher, Sherry Lou Williams, and Asher Glass. And I mean, it's just a who's who.
And Asher is my 8-year-old brother, my 10-year-old brother, so it's going to be such an honor to have people I respect and love so much deliver something that means so much to me.
Now, with this, with the Inspiration Monkeys, people can just work with them, just improv?
Yeah, they're an improv group that I've worked with at Poetic Underground for a few months, the open mic at the Uptown Arts Bar Wednesday nights that I co-started with Nightlife Jones. Mm-hmm. But they just kind of sit back and fill in the gaps, and if you don't want music, you don't need it, but if you do, they're really fun to work with. So it's kind of nice. It creates that spark of improv and magic that you can't really always get if you are a slave to the rehearsal. So we like to keep it easy and fun and all inclusive.
Well, good luck to you. I know, like I said, the pop poetry has been hugely successful and popular. So you want to get there early. Because I know that space does fill up pretty fast.
And you can pre-order books, too. It's all on either my website or the KKFI, or I'm sorry, the Prospero's website. Mm-hmm. But you can pre-order your spot if you do want to reserve it.
Is there anything I've left out or something that you want to mention that we haven't talked about?
Oh, I'm just so excited and so thankful to Prospero's and Jeanette Powers for providing this platform. You know, I probably wouldn't have a book if it wasn't for this situation. And I'm so grateful to them and also to the Uptown Arts Bar for being such a wonderful platform for performers and poets. And I'm really excited about the next few weeks.
Well, you do some great things in the community. So I want to thank you, because I know the last time that I saw you was at Wyandotte High School for a poetry competition with different schools.
Slam.
Yeah, so you're out there, so thank you so much for your work.
Trying to keep the dream alive.
There you go.
Thank you.
We're going to take a real quick break, and then we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio. And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, your friend, your host, and producer. And next up, we have Annie Robb, the writer and art critic. She's the senior prose editor at Kansas City Voices and vice president at Whispering Prairie Press. She's going to talk about her residency in Morocco coming up May 8th through June 5th. This residency is a huge opportunity for her as she has emerged in the writing world through Kansas City Voices, also The Pitch in Critical Arts and Cultural Reviews, and she has her own published fiction. This will give her a solid month to write and work, and will help her focus on her writing and ways to find, and she'll use it to find ways to grow the larger writing community in Kansas City. So welcome, Annie. Thank you so much for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks, Maria.
You bet. So this is pretty ambitious, and I'm very excited for you to share with our listeners what this project involves.
Well, this project has really taken a lot of different turns since I applied to Green Olive Arts, the residency in Tetouan, Morocco. Originally, it was just to give myself 3 weeks of uninterrupted writing time where I didn't have to go to work, I didn't have to pay bills, I didn't have to think about, you know, my daily life. And being accepted into the residency, I have since extended it from 3 weeks to a month and tailored the project to focus on the greater critical feminist dialogue in countries where the population is more than 90% Muslim, because it seems like now more than ever is a really important time for us to talk about that.
Well, the discussion certainly is an important topic and all. What how has what was the direction in that? I mean, you said that you wanted to begin this conversation, an immersion in an Islamic culture as an important facet of the project. But it's also the Muslim community is being targeted by political extremists mm-hmm, and their mm-hmm. image negatively that's impacted by religious fanatics.
Yeah, it's a common belief that in countries where women are majorly oppressed by their political structures, that those women are not contributors to the larger conversation in any way. To some extent, there are women Muslim leaders who have come into more public roles, and we can look to them for political discussions. Mm-hmm. But the feminist landscape has sort of been lacking these voices because we believe, as Westerners, that oppressed women are homogenous mm-hmm. and that they aren't contributing to that discussion. So that to me is just as equally oppressive mm-hmm. that we continue to believe this. And of course, there are scholars out there who are working to dismantle these ideas. But I believe that as citizens of the world, we have a responsibility to explore these issues without the influence of the media, who wants to control, mm-hmm. You know, only sort of the violent aspects of this conversation.
And a statement that I've received from you that not only is that, well, your goal is to incorporate the lives and realities of the women in the surrounding environment into your fiction. Mm-hmm. So how do you think that will work?
Well,
in your fiction?
I believe fiction is a really important tool to discuss ideas in a way that is more immediate than maybe some lengthy nonfiction research or mm-hmm. even in novels. Short stories have this very special power to keep the reader engaged for a short amount of time, so it's not much of a commitment. Mm-hmm. And also, in sort of like... I view it as like being kind of manipulative, but in a good way. Short fiction can go inside of the reader, and the reader can interpret the events and the problems that are being presented in the piece with their own lives through their mm-hmm. own mm-hmm. lens. And so it's sort of this a shortcut to creating empathy is through short fiction.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is also in conjunction with Green Olive Arts. Would you like to talk about Green Olive mm-hmm. Arts?
Green Olive Arts was started by a couple of American expats in the city of Tetouan, Morocco. It's a small city right on the Mediterranean Sea. It's far enough away from Tangier to where it's not immediately associated with the beat writers, with mm-hmm. Burroughs, with mm-hmm. Kerouac, with mm-hmm. Bowles, who went with sort of the express purpose of living somewhere where they could do anything they wanted to. So it's not, you know, it's not a city that's been romanticized by Westerners. It's mm-hmm. sort of just these two individuals that started this residency. It's very new. It's still growing. And as far as I know, they haven't had a lot of writers and artists, mm-hmm. but they have had the writers and artists that have gone have really positive things to say about it. Mm-hmm. And from what I gather, it's hosted in like a prominent family's property. Like it's this big house with a lot of rooms.
Mm-hmm. So you're just not plunked down in the middle of someplace. You actually have sort of some support.
Yeah. They have facilities.
Yeah.
It's not just showing up somewhere and like, okay, here's a room.
Now, to help offset some of the cost of that writing residency, there is an event Friday, January 15th at the Uptown Arts Bar at 3611 Broadway, and that's going to be 7 o'clock to 10. So that will assist you in funding this project,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's sort of the kickoff funding event for me to introduce this to a public audience. There will be a silent auction from my friend Gigi Moons. She will have some jewelry out there that people can bid on. Mm-hmm. There will be some music from musicians that have sort of a small setup, and then mm-hmm. some writers will come and read their work. So there will be entertainment. It's going to mm-hmm. be really casual. I will have some prizes available if you are, you know, if you want to donate $5 or $10, you can get a copy of my little chapbook Interiors, which has four short stories, or I will send you a postcard from Morocco as a thank cool. you for your donation. So very small, very casual. Any larger donations will be directed to the GoFundMe page that I'm launching, and that's just going to be GoFundMe/Annie Robb. Mm-hmm. That way there will be like a paper trail mm-hmm. if you, mm-hmm. you know, if anybody wanted to donate more than $10.
And your website?
My website is annierobb.com. On there, I think the first thing you see is the announcement of the fundraiser party. But if you scroll around, there's fiction. There's links to where I've been published. There's criticism. There's links to my work at The Pitch mm-hmm. where I do critical art writing. So it's all on there.
What sort of preparation has taken place for this residency? What did you have to learn or know about that perhaps you didn't realize at the start?
I learned how to say I'm from Canada in Arabic in case
hit it.
Ana men Canada. I'm from Canada. Well, I'm not from Canada, let me just say that. But if the political discourse in America continues that way, I might have to be something that I say. Yeah. I'm brushing up on Spanish because Morocco is so close to Spain. There's a lot of crossover. And I have to learn how to do things with my right hand because I'm left-handed. And the left hand is considered unclean. And you know, there's a lot of meals that I'll have to eat with my right hand, which is something that I'm not used to. Mm-hmm.
And even just as a woman in another country, what are some things you had to learn or to know about?
I think I have to. I don't have to wear a hijab mm-hmm. because that has religious connections, and it's not necessarily a cultural. We sort of merge our ideas of religion and culture, which can be really damaging. So as I'm not a Muslim woman, right. I'm not expected to wear one, but I do have to shop for skirts and loose mm-hmm. pants and
there's
blouses
some protocol,
that cover.
Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. the more I am comfortable covering, I think the less I'll be noticed. And the trick for everyone who's traveling is to just blend in as much mm-hmm. as possible. So there will be some things that I have to learn.
Besides writing and sort of nurturing your skill as a writer, what other sort of things do you hope happens that you can bring back and share, or just on a personal level? What do you look forward to?
I hope to meet artists who are tackling these issues that from a more direct standpoint. So artists who are incorporating their personal histories, as residents of Morocco. Mm-hmm. I hope to introduce them to Kansas City. I know that is kind of an ambitious project, mm-hmm. but I want to present Kansas City as welcoming to the arts. And I would love a chance to see North African art in Kansas City, not just something that's been dug up and thrown into the Nelson.
Sure, yeah.
Being that bridge between these two vastly different cultures, I expect to learn as much as I expect to give. Mm-hmm. And without my active participation, I don't expect to get much. I also want to learn how to cook some Moroccan meals. I like mm-hmm. going to countries and sort of picking a dish and trying to recreate it.
Now, will you have a blog site or some sort of a online journal that people can sort of track where you're at or mm-hmm. that you'll check in? Because I think that would be very interesting to us who are here in the States mm-hmm. and see how it develops for you over there.
In 2011, I lived in Cameroon, Africa for 3 months, and I kept an online account of my day-to-day adventures. And, whenever we had internet, mm-hmm. which was sort of touch and go. You know, I could get on there and just sort of break down what the last few days had been like. It was very informal, but I anticipate doing something similar while I'm in Morocco. Of course, a lot of my time has to be spent, you know, focusing on my own fiction, but mm-hmm. I do expect to try to regularly at least put a couple sentences up so that people who are reading can follow along.
That's very exciting. You know, I wish you the best of luck, and I hope that when you return in June or sometimes after,
yeah,
shortly after
June.
That, yeah, come back and share with us what you've learned. Share with us some of your writing, your experiences, what you encountered, what you didn't expect. You know, share with us what your residency was about there.
Absolutely. I plan on holding a connective discussion about fiction and feminism when I return and sharing some of the work that I've produced. So love to do that.
And I want to remind listeners that Friday, January 15th at the Uptown Arts Bar, there's going to be a performance, music, a reading, a variety of talent on stage to assist Annie in funding the project in Morocco. Thank you so much, Annie, for coming in, and please safe journeys to you, and come back and see us.
Thank you, Maria.
We'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio. And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host and producer of ArtSpeak. And hello. We are on air. So I want to introduce our next guest. We have Godfrey Riddle. I left that off the F. Godfrey Riddle in the studio. He's the development manager with Arts KC, who's going to discuss the Learn to Lead series and other programs and information that's aligned with Arts KC. Thank you, Godfrey, for coming in this afternoon.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Maria.
Always a joy. So, you know, let's get right to the Learn to...
Oh, the Arts Leadership Series.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's talk about that first of all.
Yeah, so the Arts KC is launching an Arts Leadership Series that's really focused on giving individuals the knowledge, skills, and network they need to become awesome board or committee members mm-hmm. with arts nonprofits. So along those lines, we recognize that engaging a lot of voices, a lot of diverse communities in the arts is very important, mm-hmm. but something where arts organizations could use a little help. They desperately want to get new audiences in the door, new people on their boards, new people at their events, but one challenge they face is reaching those communities. Mm-hmm. So hopefully through the Arts Leadership Series, we'll start developing a broader pool of individuals who are prepared to take on those leadership roles mm-hmm. at arts nonprofits, and also through the matchmaking event that occurs at the end of the Leadership Series, start building those relationships between
so
individuals.
Important. Yeah. And this is in 4 sessions, right?
Correct.
Okay. And it begins Tuesday, January 26th. It's in the morning.
Yes. So I'm a morning person. I hope everyone else is as well.
Yeah.
So the 4 leadership series, they take place on the 4th Tuesday of every month from 7:30 till 9 a.m. at Arts KC in the Crossroads. And they cover a variety of topics. The first one, as you mentioned, on January 26th is focused on arts administration. Mm-hmm. So people like me who either work in the arts or want to work in the arts, helping them understand what it means to be an arts administrator and mm-hmm. how you develop that career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can tell listeners that for more information, you can look at artskc.org or call 816-994-9240 for more information. And again, this is in 4 installments, and you have different groups of people that will facilitate this mm-hmm. the series, right?
Correct. So each series, I really wanted to pull in a panel of experts from around Kansas City. So for the first series on arts administration, we're fortunate to have Karen Christensen. Uh-huh. She is the Chief Operations Officer for the Nelson Atkins, and she's going to share her journey. We're also going to hear from Tyrone Aiken, who is the Creative Director at Kansas City Friends of Alvin Ailey. Throughout, we have a smattering of really great individuals.
Sure.
Vince Clark from the ballet and KC Symphony, Abigail Wendell from KC Rep, and we also have Dr. David Renz from UMKC. He runs their nonprofit management center, and also Luann Feehan, who's the executive director of NP Connect, just to give you a sampling of who's engaged.
Power hitters. Well, you know, if an individual can only maybe go to one or two of these. Is that possible, or do you have to sign up for the entire series? I'm just curious.
Not at all. Okay. You can attend at your leisure. Mm-hmm. So I will recommend you go to all four of the sessions plus matchmaking, but I understand everyone's busy. So if you want to tailor your experience, go for it.
I love this matchmaking, this board and committee matchmaking event, because as you have here on the paper in front of me, it's like speed dating. And I love that idea because, you know, you want to just get the meat of what this person does and is this going to work for us?
Precisely. That's exactly what we thought. They're 10-minute sessions. Yeah. You sign up in advance. You tell your story really quickly. The arts organization tells their story. And if you guys fall in love, hopefully you'll continue that dialogue and see how you two can work together.
Yeah, I just think that that's a really lovely way to work. And that's going to take place May 17th, which is also on a Tuesday from 5 to 6:30.
Yes, PM, and it's going to be at the Kauffman Foundation.
Terrific. And what are some other programs you have going on or exhibitions? What other information will you want to share with us?
Yeah, I think one that listeners would really enjoy would be our Arts KC Encounters program. Mm-hmm. So this is personally my favorite. I'm an Encounter member because you get a behind-the-scenes look at the arts in Kansas City. It includes beverages, heavy hors d'oeuvres, and then some sort of live performance, mm-hmm. like a theatrical event, a dance performance, or a private exhibition. So touring the Nelson, going to see the Jazz Museum, mm-hmm. things of that nature.
Do people have to reserve this in advance, a spot for this? Okay.
Yes. So if you are not an Encounter member, tickets are online and available. They are $40 per person. Mm-hmm. And if you're an Encounter member, you get a 50% discount, and tickets are $20. Mm-hmm. And you can go to artskc.org to learn more about that as well.
Arts KC does a lot in the community for you know, not only just artists and performers, but for people that want to find those organizations to pair up with.
Truly.
So
yeah, it's really our mission to be a conduit to the arts. Mm-hmm. We really want to support artists, support arts organizations, and ensure they have everything they need to unleash their full potential. Mm-hmm. And we also know that part of that is making sure people understand they're there. So we really mm-hmm. want to, through events like the Encounters program, engage those arts lovers out there.
Mm-hmm. And there's a push for diversity, too, within the organization, the Arts KC, right?
Yep, and that's really my role. One of my fun things I get to do at work is focus on thinking about how Arts KC can use its voice, its position, its power to really raise the voices of other communities that go unheard, and then connect those voices with other organizations that are looking to have that individual.
So, for instance, an individual who is struggling, a new artist, and they're of color, you could help them maybe find or other organizations to work with, or how does that work? Inspiration grants or
definitely
sort of thing?
yeah so
that's where I was getting at.
Definitely, we always encourage individuals to apply to the Arts KC Fund for support. We give out grants to arts organizations, artists, and then also arts programs. Mm-hmm. So those are nonprofit organizations that use art in some way to achieve their mission. And as far as helping individual artists of color, we really will meet with you where you're at, see what you're looking for, what you don't have in Kansas City that might be elsewhere, a residency, another opportunity to get your work out there. Mm-hmm. And we really just want to be your biggest advocate. That's what gets us excited
That's
about work
terrific.
Every day.
So what are some applications that individuals can apply for? Are there any that are coming up?
Yeah, I would say one of the great things that we have is the Arts KC Resource Center. So it's a resource of resources. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you visit that at artskc.org, there are tabs on advocacy, networking, where to exhibit, where to find mm-hmm. Places to have a studio space, where to find other grants for individual artists. That, I would say, is really the fastest one-stop shop for artists mm-hmm. and arts organizations just looking to expand their reach a little bit or achieve their mission.
And Arts KC has been around, it seems like you all have been around for so long, but you really haven't. I mean, in terms of, you know, what you put out in the community, you've only been around for How long?
We have been around for 16 years. We are a small but mighty team, and we're all very passionate about our work and passionate about the arts in Kansas City. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but we understand that the arts are a key ingredient in building communities. You don't travel to go look at someone's business district. You travel to experience the culture they have to offer.
Absolutely. And again, please tell us the website.
It's artskc.org. You can go there to learn more about the Arts KC Encounters program, the Arts Leadership Series, and also visit the Resource Center.
So for any of the information that people are wanting to find out more about the Arts Leadership Series, you can look at the website or call 816-994-9240. Anything else that I may have left off or?
No, I just really want to say thank you to every panelist that's participating in the series. We're very fortunate to have your time and talent.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do such terrific work in the community. So we love having the support of organizations that try to help artists and individuals just get out there, get their work out and, you know, really inspire them.
Yeah.
So I want to invite you back anytime, my friend. So please know that there's an open invitation.
Wonderful. Thank you, Maria.
You bet. You know, I want to thank everyone for coming in today to talk with me on ArtSpeak Radio. Thanks to Dennis Etzel Jr., Sarah Nicole Glass, also known as Miss Concepcion, Annie Robb, Godfrey Riddle. You've all been just so wonderful and telling us about your work and projects that are going on. Next week, January 13th, it's going to be a kind of a shift. We've got Kansas City Art Institute instructors, John Ferry, Jonah Criswell, Brett Chenoweth, and Hector Casanova, who will come in and talk with us about what it was like to be a student at the Art Institute, sort of what they went through and now returning as educators on the campus. So tune in for that next week, January 13th. After the program is over, ArtSpeak Radio is over, we've got Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger at 1 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, we have Groovy Grant, Old G's Hangout. At 6 o'clock, All Souls Forum. So I want to thank you all for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio. Please like us on Facebook because we really like you. And you can find us on Facebook, www.kkfi.org. You'll find our podcasts. Also, you can download them through iTunes. And any information that you want to know is right there on our website. So thank you for tuning in. Honey, I'm coming home.